You'll see why in a minute, but it's kind of fun. I kind of like it. I'm worth more than when I walked in. Yeah? Think that through a little bit. Father, we thank you, Lord. We're all worth the treasure in the field to you. You go after us. You dig us out. You draw us in. You look at us and you treasure us. You embrace us and you treasure us. Thank you, Lord, that you treasure us in that way, enough to give all to buy us back from the field, to give all to make us your pearl of great price. Lord, will we today take a step towards making you the pearl of great price for us? Yes, Lord. We say yes, Lord. We believe in worship. We've already taken a step towards that. But Father, we want you to give us revelation. Revelation to deepen it. Deepen that step. Deepen that belief and that faith in your healing, loving, healing hand. Your hand of grace and mercy in our lives. God, we want to trust you. We want to trust you in the darkest hour. And at the heights of joy. Lord, it's all about coming into closer relationship with you and trusting you. But Lord, when our ears, human ears, hear that over and over and over again, Lord, we tend to block it out. We tend to block the very truth out that can change our daily lives and lift us up from places where we've gotten stale. Lift us up from ruts that we've found ourselves in. Lord, give us revelation today. Bring it to our hearts. Drive it home. Dig it deep. I want to have a deeper well that you fill up to overflowing today, Lord. I want that for each person here. You know my heart, Lord. You know my heart. I want it for each person here. I don't want to just be up here, blah, 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 blah. Okay, I fit my part. I did my thing. I let loose with what I thought I had. I want it to come from you to each of your precious pearls. Lord, that they would be different. They would be changed, not just for a day or two, but forever, Lord. Forever, God. Forever. That we all would be changed deeper and deeper into your likeness, higher and higher from glory to glory. Lord, we need you. We need you to do that. We don't have enough faith. You supply it. We don't have enough passion. You just give it to us. We don't have enough compassion. You just add it to our lives. If we just open up to you, Lord, I pray, do it in abundance today for each of us. Abundance. We need more from you. We need more from you, but we have to be open for it. And then we will give it out to a desperate world, a world that is even looking for one person that even cares. Lord, I'm that person. Lord, each of us is that person. We're going to stop for the one, and we're not just going to rush in doing it. We're going to take time like you do with us. You take your time with us. You listen to our heart's cry and our silliest complaint. You listen. You're patient. You spend time. You don't rush by us. Thank you, Lord. Pray you would instill that in us, inspire that in us. Put that right inside of our hearts. In Jesus' name. Amen. Well, I am more valuable than when I first walked in here. I want to get my father's stool. Sorry. Feeling like a papa today. And when I feel like a papa, I just want you all to go up. I just want it to happen. Some in here could be papas to me. And they are in one respect. But I also am a papa to them. And I love that. That that's possible in the spirit. That I can care about you at a depth that a father cares and wants you to, you know, do great exploits for God, not just stay the way you are or stay the way I am. I want us to do it together in covenant. I want it to be a family doing it. I don't want to be the all-star. Pastor Mary Pat doesn't want to be the all-star. We have not made that abundantly clear as we have many people come up and pray for people. We have many people go on mission trips and preach. We don't take all the opportunities to preach or heal or deliver because we want the ones that are being trained up to go way beyond us. I said way beyond us. And so we have to allow opportunity for all of us to be in the harvest field together. And I like what's happening around here. I like that we're in the harvest field together. And gee, we're not even perfect yet. Go figure. This is not good. I don't have a watch. This is how I get my jewelry. Look at this. Wow, that's awesome. You got another one? Yeah, I knew it was coming. So, I like that, being in covenant in family, so we kind of know one another a little deeper than you just breezing in and breezing out, and I gave my thing, and you got a little bit of it, and it lasted about, maybe an hour. If I'm fortunate, you'd have it last about an hour. But if it comes from Holy Spirit, it can last forever and ever and ever. It can change your life. Today I want to give you, yes, a pearl of wisdom that I believe is from Holy Spirit. And it's helped me in my life. I'm still working on the whole thing, but I think you'll remember it beyond today. How many remember the message of the whole loaf, those that were here? If you weren't here, you don't have to remember it. Is that fair? How many remember the message of honor, alignment, favor? Now, see, we're remembering some stuff. How many remember the Nazarite burn? We could say heart. Whoa. But it was really about the burn, wasn't it, in the heart? Awesome. Gosh, see, there's some things you're remembering beyond just a couple of hours. You know, there are some pastors in this area that would die for that. And I have. I've died. Still dying. Yes, Lord. Okay, we better get to this. We're running late today, but what the good news is, we're always running late. That's the good news. Sweet. Okay, so I said I was more valuable than when I walked in here. And this is why. And it's not the rubber band. Yeah. Door number one or door number two? How many say one? Raise up your hands. Come on. How many say two? It's door number two that you want. These are fake. These are real. These are fake. These are real. Now, interesting. You'll love this. It's a little variety. Now, this is interesting. I'm going to tell you in a minute why. It's more interesting than just some pearls. Ooh. I'm going out for the evening. Get my dark dress on. No. Whoa. Come on now. Sweet looking, huh? And to make sure my ensemble is complete. Great, huh? Woo! So I'm more valuable than when I walked in here. You know, it was a real test for my daughter and daughter-in-law to allow me to touch thee. The daughter came in and said, you should read your text. I said, why? Because Josh said that he's keeping the guitar that you gave him to try out to see if he wants to buy it until you return my pearls. And with these, I was told that they're very old, this one, and could I please take care of them, be careful with them? So I, of course, put them in my pocket. I'm a guy, I don't know, you know. What do I know about taking care of pearls? Seems like a safe place to me. It's where I put my cell phone, and it only drops out like 3 or 4 times a day. Okay, so you saw the goods. So I will wrap them up and keep them safe. And, you know, this could be a real, you know, easy message. It really could. But I've been hearing pearl of great price, pearl of great price, pearl of great price. Well, you know, this could be an easy one. Every pastor I know does a pearl of good price message. And I know how it kind of runs. I've heard a lot of them. They're really good. They are good. But I want something beyond that for us. Not so you can say, wow, Pastor Bill, he's all over it. No, so that you go deeper. I go deeper in what the Lord has for us. This is how it works. I know you know that pearls come from oysters, mollusks. You know, there's several different type of pearls. But normally we think of a pearl coming from a mollusk. Now, what is the deal? The mollusk is out there feeding, minding its own business in the ocean or in fresh water. Out there, you know, blah, 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 blah. However they do. Probably, you know, they open up those two shells, you know, and they feed. I think some of them actually sing. It's going to be my new CD. Mollusk worship music. They're open like this. They feed. You know what? I mean, they don't have a tongue, but, you know, you get the idea. I want you to get the idea. They're feeding. They're doing fine. They're wonderful. Having a wonderful life. And all of a sudden, some piece of debris, something they don't really like to eat, comes in there and it gets between the soft part inside, which has a name but I won't bore you, soft part inside and the hard shell on the outside. The soft part on the inside actually continues to make the shell as time goes on. The stuff in it, it's called nacre. N-A-C-R-E, nacre. Remember nacre, because nacre makes the shell. Soft, it's in the soft part. But here comes this little irritation. It could be like leftover celery that floated down all the way to the bottom of the ocean and made it to the bottom. And when that mollusk goes to feed and sing in the spirit, this little tiny speck, I mean, just really small, gets in there between the soft part and the shell, lodges in there. The mollusk gets angry. Can feel it. How many have ever had a stone in their shoe? And you try to, you know, you're walking along. You're at the mall, and you're just trying to get that, you know, in a place where it's between your toes or something. So why don't we ever take our shoe off? Well, we finally get to that, you know, and sit down. Oh, gee, this takes forever. 4 seconds. You know, oh, take our shoe off, find that stone, get it out of there. How many have ever had popcorn in your teeth? More of you have problems with popcorn than with stones. That's good, because we just redid the driveway out there. We don't want any of those stones in your shoes. Oh, you think they're too big? I don't know. Some people in here, you know. Woo-woo! Okay. Anyway, it gets in this between the soft part and the shell. Remember, the soft part is making the shell over time. And guess what happens? This mollusk, this oyster gets so irritated. It does something very unusual. It takes the material that makes the shell and puts it around, a layer of it, around the irritation. And then year by year adds more layers. Adds more layers. Year after year, around this irritation, around this thing that's just right in there, bothers this mollusk. But as time goes on, more and more layers are formed. And then we end up with a beautiful pearl. Or a not-so-beautiful pearl. You know, there's different grades of it. I think the ones that are misshapen, they're called Baroque. Not broke. Baroque pearls. Because they're misshapen. Not all pearls end up with this nice outer surface and crystalline type surface around it. And, you know, beautiful things that can be worn by people. In fact, now the oceans are so polluted and other places that there's rarely, you know, natural pearls that people go after and find anymore. You know, almost like a random diver just goes down and, you know, gathers some up and searches for them, because they can make them now by unnatural means. They can stick the irritation in there, and it still forms the same kind of pearl. They're not natural anymore. By the way, of all the jewelry pieces that people have, the pearl is the only one that's made by something alive. Something that's actually alive. And it's not always something that's dead or like a piece of sand that the pearl forms around. Sometimes it's like little creatures that get in there and dig in the little mollusk soft part, and they put that stuff, that nacre, around that thing. They actually go around something that's alive and cover it over with these layers over time, over time, over time, over time, over time. And then we dive down and we get the mollusk, and you have to get a whole bunch of them, because this doesn't always happen in every mollusk. But we could maybe find some. They're not as plentiful as they used to be. And so they're done unnaturally now, but you still end up with the same kinds of pearls. Obviously, you would know that there would be some big ones, rare ones, that are millions of dollars, or they're in museums. They're so rare, so perfect, but so large. Different colors. Maybe you've heard of black pearls. Well, there's all kinds of colors of pearls. Shades, varieties, sometimes several colors in one pearl. Now, let's turn to Matthew 13. I know it's in this Bible I just checked not too long ago. Matthew 13, verse 44. Again, the kingdom of heaven is like treasure hidden in a field, which a man found and hid, and for joy over it, he goes and sells all that he has and buys that field. Again, the kingdom of heaven is like a merchant seeking beautiful pearls, who, when he has found one pearl of great price, went and sold all that he had and bought it. Many of the descriptions, which are pictures, by the way, in Matthew 13, are of different ways of looking at the kingdom of heaven. Well, in Luke 17, it says, 17:21, that the kingdom of God is where? Within. It's within you. So it's not like we're waiting for the kingdom of heaven. Oh, I can't wait until I get old and croaky-goaky and, you know, because then I'll have the kingdom of heaven. We know that God wants to bring heaven to earth, and that the kingdom of God already dwells inside of us because Holy Spirit lives inside of us if we know Jesus. Jesus lives inside of us through Holy Spirit, and they're one. So Jesus lives inside of us. The Father lives inside of you because He's one with Holy Spirit and Jesus. You have God living inside of you. So when it says, the kingdom of heaven is like a merchant seeking beautiful pearls, who, when he had found one pearl of great price, went out and sold all that he had and bought it. It's a two-way street. Since you have the Godhead living inside of you, you are the pearl of great price that Jesus died for. He gave all that he had for you. You're the pearl of great price, in one sense. Because the heaven of God, the kingdom of God, lives inside of you. It's inside of you, and it's a person. It's not like some, ooh, the kingdom of God. Wonder what that's like. No, it's the person. It's the Godhead. It's inside of you. So you are the pearl of great price to Jesus. He gave up all to purchase you. And we have the opportunity to give up all and purchase the great price, the great pearl of great price of Jesus. Okay, that's the way the sermon usually goes. But I want you to think something a little bit different today. It's this. Some of us have things in our lives that keep us back consistently from going forward with Jesus. We talked not long ago about forgiveness. Some of you reached some deeper levels of forgiveness over situations and people and hurts and pains from the past that God wanted to come in and give you a deeper level of forgiveness in. Today, I want you to think of things in your life over and over again that have been an irritation, that have been something that's been in there. It's just something that's irritating. It could be something so simple, someone that you have to relate to time and time again, and something in their life just bugs the tar out of you. It just bothers you. Or it could be something very major, a major offense with someone that you've never allowed that nakra, the grace of God, to wrap itself around it over and over and over and over again. You know, there are leaders that are Christians, Christian leaders, pastors, and so on, they bump up against a lot of offense. There's offense towards them. They see people with offense. There's lots of things going on in the body of Christ that are like those irritants inside of the oyster shell. And
We have a choice. We can let the grace of God keep putting his layers around that irritant so that it's covered over. You see, Jesus did that for us when he died on the cross. For all time, he covered our sin. That speck, which was really large in our case, that had infected our lives right from the start. He came in with his grace, his mercy, his love, his sacrifice on the cross, paid for all of it from the first day of our life to the end of our life, even before we were born. Paid for all of it. Every sin, including future sins, because they were all future when he died for them. All of our sins were future. None of you predate Jesus, I don't think. So he's covered it all. We're free to do the same for other people. He let all those layers of grace come around our sin. And sometimes we look at that pearl and we go, oh, it's misshapen, Jesus. I keep screwing it up. I think you missed a part over here because I'm feeling like sludge on a popsicle stick with my life over here. You must have missed that part. But actually, Jesus, when he describes pearls, they're pearls of great price. You throw the other ones away. All the other misshapen pearls, pearls that you might think that you are, he says you're not. You're not those pearls. Those are the ones you kind of, throw in to buy the pearl of great price. He's paid for all of it, put all those layers of grace over our life. Should we question him? Should we say, I don't know really, this is of God. I don't know really if you're really out for me, Lord. Seems like I'm not getting the stuff I want. My life isn't going the way I want. Maybe your nakra hasn't covered me. Your grace hasn't covered all the things in my life. Something's wrong. Something's not working. He says, no. It's been taken care of. Layer upon layer upon layer upon layer of grace. You see, we all have that done for us already. Every one of us has the pearl of great price. But it's those that know the value and sell all to enjoy it. Sell all to enjoy it. Now, what does that look like as we play it out in life? It looks like this. When someone offends you, you don't go to 10 other people and say, that person is a jerk. I'm praying for them, but they're a jerk. I brought their name up at prayer meeting and told everybody what they did to me, and they're a jerk. But I'm praying for them. Please join me and pray for them. They need lots of people praying for them because they're a jerk. But rather, when Holy Spirit says, you've got kind of an offense towards that person, we think of that pearl and we go, mine was covered over. Layer upon layer upon layer of grace. Am I going to let this irritant, this person that bugs the tar out of me, that gets under my skin, that gets into my mantle, and it's an irritant, it's in the soft, fleshy part, it really, am I going to focus on that person's offense, that person's action, that person's personality, that person's way of doing things? They never screw the top on the toothpaste. And just or that was my brother, by the way, not Pastor Mary Pat. No. Or or I can let that same process that happened with me, I can make it a pearl of great price. I can put layers of grace over it.
I'm going to forgive them. This has happened over and over and over in my life, and when I've done it right, oh my, it's sweet. Let me tell you. Let me give you an example. And you might want to close your ears. I don't know, sometimes you don't like my examples. But anyway, this one's a little sensitive, you know, sometimes. But both of us were married before, and our spouses took off. And so we didn't know each other. We were left, and by God's grace, especially in my life, He brought us together from two different sides of the city, two different churches. I came from Michigan originally. She came from Illinois originally. And in God's beautiful way of doing things, crossed our paths in a very, very unusual way. There's a whole testimony along with that, but I'm looking at the watch. Crossed paths. So I was attending a church that the leader of the church felt that second marriages, you know, other people could marry people for the second time, but he personally had something against that, doing it for himself, marrying somebody for the second time. So there was a whole deal with that, but it ends up that the board at that church, which was my church, voted that they should allow us to get married at that church. And they have a unanimous vote in the leadership. They voted, including the pastor, that we should be allowed to be married in that church, despite his personal feelings. So we could have a pastor come in and marry us at this church that really didn't have people come in and do anything like that. And the reason was, I had shown that I love Jesus. These guys that I had been in leadership with. I was like, that's awesome. So the pastor did the sound. But you can imagine that in the congregation, they didn't know which way to go with that. The people that she knew came in ready to celebrate a restoration, a renewal, God's faithfulness. The people in my church were kind of didn't know which way to go. Are we really supporting the pastor if we come? Or are we really supporting the pastor if we decide we have other plans? And on the weekend we were married, Billy Graham was in Cleveland. It was an easy one to say, oh, I'm going to Cleveland. Sorry I can't come to your wedding. I'll be at Billy Graham. So there were people that didn't come. And there were some people that were like this during this whole ceremony. And then there were other people that were like, this is great, God's faithfulness. I can't believe He brought them from different states and different parts of the city and different churches and brought them together. It's going to be something awesome out of their life. And then you got... And you've got my pastor doing the sound, trying to stay out of the fray. And some people didn't attend. So, we had a choice, you know? You can take offense inside your heart and say, no one will ever know how we feel about this. We'll just keep it between the two of us. Those ones that didn't support our marriage, they stink! They're an irritation in my mosque. And we ain't going to do any knocker on them. No way. We're going to keep the knocker to ourselves and build our shell. We're not going to surround them with knocker. With grace. No way. But we had already been through a situation where we had to forgive spouses that we wanted to see serve the Lord again. He had already taken us through many challenges. In fact, I've told some people in secret, one of my strategies for taking out my rival, I had a whole plan. And by God's grace, he came in and convinced me, "So you love jail, huh?" That's basically what he told me. It would feel good for a moment. But you love jail, right? Well, I wasn't thinking, you know, that would be the result. It will be. And so, my strategy went away. And I'd already stepped into forgiving all parties. Every person. My wife. My rival. My children had forgiven. She had forgiven her former spouse. What happens is when spouses are in deception, they get married right away, as soon as the divorce is final. There was no grounds. They have to wait. And I was waiting for God's process, God's heart, to reach out to them, to my wife. So it didn't happen. So I said, "God, I'm still going your way. I'm going to forgive. I'm gonna have that layer and layer and layer. I'm going to start that process. I'm going to let that grace just cover that over." And it worked. It worked. It really did. And so when these people at the wedding were having a hard time deciding whether to come or not to come or say things and all that kind of stuff, we agreed in our hearts, we're going to let the nakra, the grace of God, cover that over. We're going to let that form around there. And when you look at it, you're not going to see an irritation. You're not going to see, why did these people fail me? Why did they reject me? Why did they not come to the wedding? Why did they... What you're going to see is a pearl. You're going to see a pearl. Beautiful pearl. And you're going to offer that pearl in a crown to Jesus someday. Say, "Jesus, here you go. You helped me do that. I don't have enough forgiveness in me. I don't have enough grace in me. You gave it all to me. You gave me the mercy. You gave me the love. You gave me the forgiveness in my heart. I'm putting this one in the crown, and I'm giving it to you. I'm casting it to you. Violently, the Bible says, cast it to you, because it's not mine. It's yours. You did it." And so, a couple of years go by, get a phone call from a family that was very, very compassionate to me and my children when I was alone. I had two girls, and so they would do the frilly parties, Dad would come in and say, "Hey, your birthday's coming up. How about we have a cookout? What do you think, girls? Wouldn't that be fun? Have a cookout?" So wisdom took over, and some of the ladies of the church would talk sense into me, and they would do the frilly party and the fun and the sleepovers and, whatever. They would do the fun stuff, and I'd sit there and go, "Really? You like that?" "Okay, maybe next time, brats!" Well, they were doing them. Anyway, that family, decided not to come to the wedding. Didn't talk to us afterwards or anything. So didn't know why or anything. But we had forgiven. And they were especially close to my heart. I wanted them to be there because they supported me during the divorce process. Took care of my girls when they were sick. Whatever, came up, they would be Johnny on the spot. "Oh, you need a ride? They need a ride." Yeah, I was working at the time. I'm working now. I'm up here sweating.
That's what she meant.
Okay, where was I? So anyway, they called us up, and they said, can we come over, please? Oh, sure, you can come over. No, I mean, can we come over right now? Sure, come on over. And so the mother, the father, and their two children came over, and we sat down, got them something to drink at the table. We're sitting there, and father gets very serious. He's got his wife, his two children standing beside them. We've come to ask your forgiveness. Okay. You see, we fell for a lie that you're coming together in marriage was wrong before God. And God specifically has shown us since that time through a number of different things in our lives. That's just absolutely wrong. It was just absolutely wrong that we didn't come and support you at your wedding. Would you please forgive us? And the wife is shaking her head. The family, all four of them start to cry. And I said, of course we will, but I need to tell you something. He said, what? What? Tell me, us anything. Tell us anything. We already forgave you. We already forgave you. As soon as the wedding happened, we forgave you from our hearts. And there was an extra level of joy. It would have been great if we would have forgiven him right then. But because God was previously at work in our hearts, we were able to offer them the fact that we've never held that in their account. That the nakra, the grace of God, had already covered that act of theirs of rejection. It had already covered it. And I knew, and Pastor Mary Pat knew, we could have never done that. We wouldn't have come up with that. It probably would have stayed in there as an irritation, but the nakra would have never covered it if we'd just been in our own strength. But because we're crucified with Christ, nevertheless, I live. Yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. You see, the pearl of great price can form because Christ is crucified in us. If we think we can do these things in our own strength, oh, I'm going to forgive that person because God, in his word, he says to forgive. And so I'm going to do it. I'm going to do it this time. What I'm telling you is, it's deeper than that. We have to have Christ crucified in us. We have to have his love inside of us. Christ in you, the hope of glory. We have to have heaven activated inside of us, the kingdom of God activated inside of us with small irritations or things like this that could have been very big and been something that grew up as a bitter root. Hebrews 12:15. You don't want that to happen. And defile many. It would have defiled our family. It would have defiled the churches we had come from. It would have defiled other Christians that we just couldn't help. We just had to tell somebody how ugly it was at our wedding. Or something else. There are Christians that spend their whole life with all these irritations and they don't let the nakra from their own shell, the building of their own shell, they won't let it happen. They just build a bigger shell. And they let it shut, and they won't let the nakra go around these things in their life. They won't let the grace of God, the mercy of God, come in and cover these things. Now, only you know if there's these offenses that are in your heart. You run into them daily, moment by moment, small little things. There's things you don't like about me. There's things I don't like about you.
if I don't allow the nakra to cover that and see that as a pearl, a forming pearl, rather than a bigger and bigger irritation, then I'm not letting the grace of God cover. We've got a problem in our frontline family. There's going to be people that
hate the guts of the pastors, but they're in the frontline family.
See what I'm saying? Or pastors that are burned out because they haven't let the nakra, the grace of God, cover all kinds of offenses. I've had people come up to me and I'm ready to lead worship, and they say, "You're not really up to this, are you?" Leaders. Or would you, you know, I know you did a special last week. You think you really need to do one today? See, people let things come out of their mouths. I've let things come out of my mouth. Don't bring them up right now. Talk to me afterwards. Bad timing. Bad timing. That are an offense to someone. That don't build up, that tear down. We need Jesus not to tear down. He never tears down. You are never torn down in Jesus. You're chastised, but you're not torn down. You're disciplined in love. Like, you know, my father, he would take out the razor strap. For those that are too young, they used to have razors that had straight edges that were very sharp, but they would sharpen them on this strap. I know it doesn't sound like it'd work, but it did. And they'd end up with this really sharp razor. Well, I'm just glad he didn't use the razor on me. He used the razor strap, and he would say, "I'm doing this for your own good," or, you know, something to that effect. My father didn't say he loved me until he was a year from death and he received Jesus. That proved to me I need Jesus in order to really say I love people and mean it and back it up and go after it. But he took, you know, he'd take that razor strap and he would whack. See, wasn't that good for you? And as a child, you're like, let me get this straight. You're hitting me with a very thick leather strap, and this is somehow good for me? I don't see it. And sometimes we do the same thing with God. He's not hitting us with a razor strap, but he's trying to chasten us, trying to get us on the path, trying to say, look, this will be better if you go this way. You know, kind of the nudge of the shepherd's staff. You know, over here, over here, over here. Stay. Over here. He's trying to keep us on the path of blessing, the path of here's the chute, the will of God. And it's not like it's, you know, a tightrope. I mean, it's wide open. But there are some dangers. You go over here a little too far, and that's a cliff. It's still over here. Over here are the wolves. Want to stay away from those. He's good when he chastens us. It's for our good. Colossians 3, 12 and 13. I'll finish with that. Uh-oh. There's so many verses we could go to, of course. Romans 6, where sin abounds, grace increases. 1 Peter 4:8, cover the multitude of sins. Galatians 6, 2, bear each other's burdens. But here's one passage here. Colossians 3, 12. Therefore, as the elect of God, holy and beloved, put on tender mercies, kindness, humility, meekness, and long-suffering, bearing with one another and forgiving one another. If anyone has a complaint against another, even as Christ forgave you, so you also must do. But above all these things, put on love, which is the bond of perfection, and let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to which also you were called in one body, and be thankful. You know, we could go on, but the point is, if we want to be kind, merciful,
humble, meek, long-suffering, bearing with one another, forgiving one another. If we have a complaint, we have to go to the pearl of great price. And we say, do the same thing again in me, towards this other person. What's the great commandment? Love the Lord God, various versions, but with your whole mind, soul, strength, and your neighbor as yourself. We'll never get to the neighbor as ourself until there's not ourself in the mix. We're supposed to be raising up others as if they're us, raising them even higher than us. How in the world can we do that? How's that going for you? Maybe good in some instances. But the only way it can happen is that these irritations that you have with the people that you would lift up, but, oh my gosh, every time I walk by them, they ignore me. That pastor, Bill, just stays up on the guitar. He won't even come down and talk to us. Every time I text him, he ignores it for a whole 5 minutes. What's wrong with that guy? He's like, come on. We can develop these difficulties with one another and never let that grace cover it. Never let the nakra come in and cover it. And then you end up with a lot of weak people. And we think we're going to take the streets. And we think we're going to take the nation. Of course it won't happen. But the good news is, I see it working in you already. Some of you have forgiven me when I've asked for forgiveness. I've forgiven you when you've asked for forgiveness. Let's let it increase. Let's forgive before the person asks. Let's not count anything against one another. Frontline family, covenant, under the umbrella up here, the last message. Remember that? We're under the umbrella. Oh, I love that protection, God. Oh. Do you know what puts holes in the umbrella? Offense. It's one of the things. And the enemy goes, yeah, now I can get them right through the umbrella. Really, this is good news. He's revealing it to us today. So we can say, oh, we're not going to let that happen. The offenses I have towards my spouse, roommate, friend, other brother in the Lord, other sister in the Lord, mother, father, brother, sister, co-worker, boss. You know, when you go into work, if you think you're working for a guy, he's just an intermediary. Pharaoh was an intermediary to Joseph. Joseph was working for the Most High God. You are too. Go in there with that attitude. And that boss will seem a lot smaller. And he'll say things that he didn't mean to say. God will put them in him. When it happens, it's so fun. I had a boss one time. He told a volleyball, I was in education, told a volleyball person they couldn't go to a volleyball conference to learn more about teaching volleyball to the volleyball team. Wouldn't let them go. One day conference. Nope. You got to stay and teach. I put in my application to go to a Christian conference so I could learn more about how to be a better person, so I could be a better teacher. Mine was accepted. With blessing. Oh, the superintendent. Not just my principal that I turned it into. The superintendent thought it was a great idea. The volleyball person was like, what? Mine was about volleyball. This guy's going to a Christian club? How does that work? Favor, honor, alignment, and favor.
If they would have turned me down, I wouldn't have went, that stupid school system, they don't like, they're persecuting Christians. That's their problem. They're persecuting Christians. So I already had it covered before it happened. If they turn me down, bless you. I'll get the stuff a different way. Holy Spirit's creative. Bless, bless, bless. It's already taken care of. So the principal,
I think that's a good idea. I'll go talk to the superintendent.
Where'd that come from? He didn't even know. He was sane. He was open to it. If he wasn't open to it, he wouldn't go to the superintendent. And the superintendent didn't even like Christians. He still approved it and thought it was a great idea. Same superintendent, didn't like Christians. But when I ended my teaching career, I called him up. He said, anything I can do for you, just let me know. I think this is great. He says, I have relatives in Africa that are wonderful people doing Christian work over there. I'm like, then why do you go after the homeschoolers at the beginning of the school year every year? What are they doing? They should be in the public schools. I don't get these people. A lot of them are Christians, you know. Didn't matter. See, he can, by the grace that you're ready to give even to a situation, he can move their mouths. They don't even know they're doing it. Have you had it happen? Who's had it happen? Come on, a boss has done something, said something that you're like, family member?
Yes, I would like prayer.
You? Okay, we're all over it. You see, the less that we're letting these irritations against people and family members, all of that not be covered by the grace of God. If we let it be covered by the grace of God, wow, the pearls are there to put in the crown to cast before the king. So many. And it can be the smallest thing to the largest thing in your life. I want you to remember that picture. Let's stand. Moreover, the law entered that the offense might abound. But where sin abounded, grace abounded much more. You see, God is not shook up by sin because he has so much nakra, so much to cover it with. He's not like, oh my gosh, people are sinning. He's already got it covered. He's already got it figured out. He's already got the nakra ready. He's not just building his own shell. Think if God did that. We wouldn't be able to approach him. But no, he's open to us. He's so open to us. Who has been offended more than God? Who has been trashed more than God? His name. Who has been spoken against more than God? Who gave himself up to be crucified? And yet, grace abounds, abounds. The nakra is covering it layer by layer by layer, and we end up looking like a pearl. A pearl! If Judas would have just said, forgive me, Lord. Forgive me, Lord. Forgive me. I repent. I repent. You know, I'll give you a little tip. It's easier to sing repentance than it is to say it. Just a little tip. I found that out. I've been singing repentance, and it sounds better. Lord, I repent to you. Please forgive me for being a knucklehead again, Lord. I know you've covered it from the foundation of the world until now. Jesus, thank you for the nakra covering over. And now I look like a pearl to you. How in the world can you do that? You're so gracious. You're so wonderful. You're so kind. You're so loving. You're so forgiving. You're so great. Oh, God, thank you. I and the greatest Nosmo that ever lived, and yet you have come in with your grace and covered it all, even before I was born. Oh, you're great. You're awesome. Oh, by the way, I repent. Back to that. I repent. But you know, when we see him as the pearl of great price, it's easier to repent. And we don't sit there going, oh, now I've repented, but I've got to put my nose in the ground from here to Texas, and then it'll be serious. No, it won't. That'll be about you. Accepting his grace as quickly as possible. Thank you, God, that it covers my stupidity. You already factored in my stupidity, as Larry Randolph says, which I wish I had said. So I do give him credit, but I do use it. Thank you, Lord. We bless your name. We honor you. And we thank you that you allow us to be pearls of great price. And you give us the pearls inside of us, Lord, to put in the crown to cast before you. You give them to us as a gift. Just like my daughter-in-law, my daughter gave these as a gift to me. Thank you, Lord. They were so open about it, so lovingly kind. You do the same for us. We're blessed. We honor you. We ask that this picture would dwell in our hearts, because when someone brings up an irritation, I'm going to bring up this picture. And Lord, I know you'll do the same for me. When I forget the picture, you're going to bring it up to me. I bless your name. You're good. Isn't he good? Yes, yes he is. Amen. Be blessed. Share this with each other. Tell each other what a beautiful pearl you are.
If any thoughts... Powerful. If any thoughts come up this week dealing in that area of offense, you know, some of you might be feeling some areas that may seem a little more serious than some of the things that were mentioned. But offense is offense from God's perspective, and he can give the grace, no matter what it is, even children who are being rescued out of human trafficking, he gives the grace to absolutely forgive the captors and forgive the atrocities done that mankind is absolutely capable of. So some of you have been through some very deep things, deeper than some things that maybe others have gone through. But there's nothing that tops what Jesus has done for us. So I just want to lift you up right now. It's just on my heart. If that's you, just close your eyes right now. Just take a moment and just agree with me, if you would. Father, I just thank you that some of the hurts and the pains in here have come from deep places over long periods of time, or even as we were feeling and hearing about offense, that there would be some things that would surface, Lord, and just absolutely bring an ache to our heart, or something even worse than that, more of an angry, you don't understand. But Lord, we know that you do. You do. A message like this is very deep, and it can penetrate the most difficult place of our heart, where we might think, I could never, ever, ever release that person. So if that has come up today or comes up this week, Father, I'm just asking for continued grace that you would encourage each one here to be able to look up, set their heart and their mind on you, on things above, and say, I'm leaning on you. I lean on you. Grace is coming from you. You are grace, and it's your power. As Pastor Bill said, it's yours. I can't do it. So thank you that I choose to release. If we say we can't do that, the Lord says, yes, you can, because you can do all things through Christ. It strengthens us when we know the Lord. If you agree with that, if you agree with heaven, the Lord can release you into a place that you've never experienced before. And that's just on my heart. It's not to minimize any other suffering or anything that doesn't match up with what things we may have seen or gone through. But the Lord knows. So don't listen to the voice that might say, they just don't understand. They've never walked in my shoes. they've never felt my pain. Don't go there, because that's a sure lose-lose situation. But Jesus is the one who definitely understands, has walked it, and has taken it upon himself. So be encouraged today and strengthened today. A very deep message delivered in a fun way with penetrating truths for everyone in here. Forgiveness, repentance, those are our keys of the kingdom that can bring us into a place of such ease and safety. And Jesus says, I did that. I came to set the captives free. And that I am the one who has made it possible. So don't discount that. If those voices rise up, just say no. The truth is, you see me as a pearl. And I need your help. Even as tears might come down. Because we have tons of other stories that in our minds top these. We're not going there. So it's not about topping anybody. But as far as whatever we have felt, just know that we have a Savior who has taken it all, not part of it, but all. All. If there's something that rises up today, grab some of us here before you leave and say, you know, my heart's just aching. That would be a really good thing. Anne's right here in the third row, and she would be one. If you just wave your hand, Anne, that would be great. If you want to just see her or us, that would be wonderful today. And then we can just be that extra voice with you, just saying we agree with you. Thank you, Lord, that your blood covers it all. You've done it all. In Jesus' name.
By the way, a person that had their head the lowest at the wedding, I asked for a Facebook request to have them as a friend not long ago, and they responded by saying it would be a privilege. So that still has to be explored, what God has done to turn some of that around. And the pastor that was doing the sound, he years later wrote a note and asked for forgiveness for even holding that kind of belief. Saw that, you know, things had changed dramatically in his heart over those years. He said that, you know, he'd lost a wife and to cancer, and he'd grown older, and the wisdom of the years turned around that view. So God is just so good to do it. And when we forgive right up front, wow, it just opens the door for the Lord.